Wednesday night edition of Sports Day. Shane McGuinness alongside Jimmy Bartel. Well, a lot of interest in today's final catch-up for the year of the AFL's competition committee. Kind enough to join us on this Wednesday night is AFL footy operations boss Steve Hocking. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Shane, and hi, Jim.
Fair to say there would have been a lot to debrief out of season 2020. How did today's meeting go?
Yeah, look, it was excellent, Shane. It was really good to catch up. Everyone's been incredibly busy this year, and we really appreciate all of the comp committee members' involvement today, finding the time. I think a lot of people have come out of the season and have been looking forward to just catching their breath. So to have them available to work through what's ahead of us was really important. So yeah, we acknowledge that and thank them.
Hock, Jimmy here. Thanks for joining us. The competition committee you just touched on there, with all due respect to them, the coaches, how much weight do you put on their comments? Because their job is to pull whatever you put in place apart.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. We've got, we're fortunate enough to have Chris Fagan as part of it, Jim, and we've also got Patrick Dangerfield and Steve Cornelio as well. We've got Craig Bozzo, Chris Davies as part of it as well. We did have Brad Scott. So there's good representation from what you're talking about. And certainly Chris Fagan was testing all of that with us today. So their job is definitely to do that. We understand that. Our role is to make sure we put a bit more time and space back into the game. And you know, what we've announced today, we feel is incremental change. It's not new rules. It's just being a bit tighter on certain interpretation. So, they will pull it apart though, Jim. They'll spend most of summer doing that.
How much did 2020 affect the decision-making going into it? So we go back 7 months before really COVID took hold and the season turned on its head. Were these rules looking likely, or these been affected by 2020?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jim. And the reason why it is because I actually found 2020 quite advantageous as far as our decision making goes. We were able to, through that footy frenzy, just see so much football. I think one of the challenging things for most people in a normal season is how do you get through 9 games in a weekend? We're watching multiple games day by day right across a 3 or 4 week period. So we're able to really analyse it and get in underneath it. And what we have seen over the last 5 years is just that that pressure factor increasing within the game. And so part of what we've done and the work that we've done, we saw that go to another level this year because the quarters were reduced quite clearly. Rotations weren't touched as well. And we just saw most of that influence in the game in a defensive way. And so these changes that we've announced are related to just getting a bit more balance between attack and defence. So I found 2020 to be highly valuable.
Before I let Shane dig into some of the actual rules with you, you touched on the fixturing. The length of the season, firstly, is it back to 22 games? And the footy frenzy you mentioned, will we have another Festivus of football?
Well, look, I think most people liked it, Jim, certainly feedback's been really strong from all the fans out there, and certainly across the clubs and players as well. So it's something that we've got our eye on and something we're considering. As far as the fixture goes, we've got a bit of work ahead of us yet before we land that, and we'll just continue to work through with all the key stakeholders, broadcasters, and certainly clubs, but we should sort of have a bit more of an idea in the coming weeks.
Steve Hocking is the AFL footy operations boss joining us on Sports Day. Probably the biggest rule change, Hock, is the interchange rotations down from 90 to 75. What kind of impact do you expect that to have on the game? We've heard elder statesmen of the game believing that rotations should be slashed down to 40 or less. We go from 90 to 75. What impact do you expect?
Yeah, so Shane, again, another good question. I think from our point of view, what we've considered in this is incremental change. We'll stay open to what 22 looks like and beyond that as well. Our view is that we need to continue to look after the health and safety of the players, and so 15 we believe allows the competition and certainly club sports science people who have done an unbelievable job to get the game through 2020 and players as well on top of that. It gives them a chance to just adapt and adapt over time rather than being a massive chunk in one hit. We are mindful that the game is really competitive. The competition's never been closer than what it currently is, and you do need to be careful that you don't open it up too far and all of a sudden you've got one side of game. So we've certainly been mindful of that. As far as the impact on it, again, just back to the balance between defence and attack, players are going to have to think about. I know Jim was notorious for this. He would work out which stoppages he was going to and what contested situations he would get to, and then where would he bank a bit of energy. And so that's going to be a bit of strategy that players and clubs are going to have to work through from here, and that's what it does.
He's a smart boy, our Jimmy Bartel. That's why we have him on Sports Day, Hock.
he would have been all over this and going, right, opportunity for me.
Hey, a word that scares some traditionalists in footy who always say, leave the game alone. I want it like how it used to be in the 60s and 70s and 80s. Zones, it's sort of going to come into the second-tier competition, sort of yet to be formally named. The thinking behind that, is it just trialling in the second-tier competition? What was the thinking around, I think, is it three players from each have got to go back into forward 50 or defensive 50?
Yeah, that's right, Jim. And so, look, the first part to acknowledge is we're really excited about the 22-team competition, the VFL East Coast competition. It's a talent pathway development competition, and we're excited about that. All of the second tier and community levels, how they develop is super important for us. It's what supports the elite competition. So that's the first part to acknowledge. We felt that this is too big a step to be putting it into the AFL at this point in time, and we need to just do more study and more understanding of it. And so one of the things that we'll do, Jim, is we'll actually have a university that we'll partner with and do a PhD study on this and track it right through the year and watch it closely as to what difference it makes to that comp around less congestion around contested situations and migration of players up the field. So the way it'll work is that, as you've highlighted, there'll be three pairs. One of those pairs will also be inside the goal square at all boundary throw-ins and also kick-ins. And, we just think that over time, hopefully what we see is we see players' behaviour change. Watching games, as I do regularly, and you guys do, and many others, you just see players just naturally now migrate. So these are some tools, interpretation that will hopefully just stretch the ground a bit more and actually have players in areas. And then clubs will then have to work out how they then layer up from that contest back to those three pairs that are back in the forward 50.
The conspiracy theorist, Steve, might suggest that you're trying to warm up those in the AFL to seeing more starting positions come 2022. Is it something that's on the horizon in the AFL, or is it just purely it's going into the second tier competition? We need to assess, we need more data on it before we can even consider putting it into the AFL in 2022.
Yeah, look, it's certainly something we are considering for the future. Definitely, Shane, I'm more than happy to acknowledge that. To Jim's earlier point about the traditionalists, it is a shift from that. But the traditionalists really want the game to be opened up. Everyone's talking about it's become quite defensive. There's a lot of numbers around the ball, so. Whatever we can do to free up the Sharon is that's part of my role. It's part of the game analysis team, and so hence we'll do it at the second tier level and monitor it and make sure that if it does end up in the AFL that it's actually hardened, right decision making's around it. How do you officiate it? All those things are really important to iron out.
You only had to listen to Talkback Radio this year. So much of the conversation about the look of the game. Where the AFL sits, is it about easing congestion? Is it about free flowing, or is it about high scoring and seeing more goals kicked? Do we want close games, or do we want high scoring games? What's the view inside AFL HQ?
I think the most important thing is what the fans want, Shane. It's not necessarily what the AFL HQ wants. It's what the fans want, and you know what we're hearing is a greater balance between attack and defence, and more moments like Dustin Martin in the grand final, as well as players like Liam Ryan and many others. Charlie Cameron, we want those players having more time and space in the game so that they can show their wares and display that more often. And so my insight is that's what the fans want to see. And certainly close games is really important because it keeps everybody engaged, definitely. Keeps people on the edge of their seat. We want random moments. We want spectacular moments. We want instinctive moments. So I think that's the greatest part of our game, and I'm more than happy for the traditionalists to challenge me on that. Certainly welcome the passion that comes with all of that, but that's my role as a custodian within this role that I currently fill is to find more of those opportunities for those moments in the game.
Just finally, Steve, do you think it's a balance between attack and defence, or that it is more about attack, given that it does seem to be the fans want scoring, they want goals to be kicked, they want to get out of their chairs, they want to cheer those moments. Do you think, as important as defence is and an aspect of our game, that there is a more favourable look at the attacking and forward line aspect of footy?
I definitely think, Shane, it's part of what people want to see. But as I said, as soon as you swing too far one way, the pendulum goes heavily towards attack. I'm not sure that everybody wants that. It's quite clear that the closeness of the competition, which is what we saw in 2020, an unbelievable year, and went right down to an excellent grand final. It's the arm wrestle piece, definitely. Really close, competitive teams that on any given day, the fan is showing up and not sure who's going to win. I think we all welcome that, but we certainly want to see a bit more attack and as I've said, time and space, because off the back of that, we will see more moments from those great players.
Last one. I might be stepping into Travis Auld territory here, but do you know when we're getting a fixture for next year and what it might look like?
It's certainly Travis's area, and what an incredible job he's done through 2020. Look, if we cast our eye back over 2020, I think we're really well placed as far as when that will land and what it will look like. So heap of confidence that the right people will make the right decisions there, and that'll be more like December before any of that starts to land, and what it looks like, as I say, is in good hands. They'll work through it with all the key stakeholders.
Nah, he's done a good job, but so too have you. You're always very generous with your time and answering the questions. Appreciate it. If we don't talk to you again before the end of the year, have a lovely Christmas. Certainly the team at AFL HQ have deserved it. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks, Jim. Good luck to both of you.
Thanks, Steve. Certainly a year like none other. Interesting, though, Jim, in terms of where the AFL sees its priorities, not just on goal kicking and high scoring, but certainly the balance.
Yeah, and I think that's the smart thing that they've done and they've said it. And it's not often we agree with the average football supporter agrees with the AFL. They've tried to do incremental changes. They haven't gone for the big headline, like I said, 90 interchange to 40. Like, let's just see how it works. Let's see our zones that work in that second tier competition.